The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hugh has been asked to be a part of a very, very small media junket with the ambassador and with Mike Pompeo. And we're getting some very interesting reports from Hugh on his travels. He wrote this yesterday for The Washington Post to give us an update on the Syria pullout. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you this. If you listen to Hugh on a regular basis, and who doesn't, you know that Hugh was very opposed to the president's plan here when it was announced that we were going to pull our troops from Syria. I was also very opposed to that, and so were a lot of other people on the right and some on the left who were going to oppose, whether they agreed or not. They were just going to say Trump's wrong because Trump said it was wrong. If the president said he liked pizza, the left would come out and condemn pizza. No way. That's horrible. How can he do that? How can he promote such unhealthy things to the American people? It doesn't matter what he says, they're going to oppose. But the point is, there is a bipartisan opposition, or has been, to this Syria pullout. And that's why this meetings between National Security Advisor Bolton and leadership in these two nation states is so important. So here's what Hugh wrote yesterday as a part of that. And I think it's important to get this out there. Of 2011. I'm sorry, do we have Hugh?
No, we just lost you for a second, but we're back.
The United States is not repeating the enormous strategic mistake of 2011 and bugging out of the region, writes Hugh Hewitt in the Post yesterday. Whatever the details of the U.S. presence, it will remain. It will be deep, and it will be supported by all of the allies in the new Entente, and it will be a bulwark against Iranian ambitions. Bolton, writes Hugh Hewitt of National Security Advisor John Bolton, confirmed the red line is very much in place with regards to Assad and chemical weapons. If the Syrian dictator doesn't heed the lessons that followed the first two times he dared President Trump to do what President Barack Obama would not do, a lot of options would be on the table. We know that Bob Woodward reported that when Trump ordered a second strike against Assad, then Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis withheld some of those options, including targeting Assad, which the president had ordered. We're not going to do any of that, Mattis is reported by Woodward to have said. The message seems clear to both Iran and Syria. The U.S. is reconfiguring. It isn't leaving. In fact, it may be getting even more lethal. There will be no repeat of 2011. So that's really important to hear. Again, Hugh, who is right there on the scene, speaking with, conferring with, and reporting on National Security Advisor John Bolton as he is in Israel and in Turkey now. So we hope to hear from Hugh. I do want to hear also now from Liz Cheney, who yesterday was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, talking about what many of us have continued to say, that if we just withdraw before ISIS is completely decimated and unable to reconstitute, it would be the biggest mistake we could make. Cut 12.
I've said that the administration, that the United States should not pull out of Syria. I've been very hopeful, as I've seen reports, that we are now going to slow that down. We've got about 2,200 special operations forces there, and they are conducting crucially important work in terms of air support, in terms of artillery support. It is their presence that has really helped the Kurds be effective in terms of the battle against ISIS. And it would be really devastating if we were to pull out precipitously, and if we were to have a situation where the Iranians were given free rein to really establish a land bridge there and control and dominate Syria. That would be counter to our interests. It would allow ISIS begin to, again, form safe havens potentially, and it would not serve the interests of our ally, Israel, and others in the region. So I'm hopeful that we will, in fact, slow that down and that we will look at conditions on the ground and not make a precipitous withdrawal.
I think it's important to point out, that's Liz Cheney on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. I think it's important to point out, too, that the president and National Security Advisor Bolton are not necessarily at odds with one another, which is something that other writers and reporters for The Washington Post would not seem to want to acknowledge. And this is such an odd marriage that we have, in my opinion anyway, between Hugh and The Washington Post, because Hugh is one of the most logical, reasonable voices and conservative voices in a obviously otherwise very, very liberal paper. And they make no attempt to hide, I believe, their intention to make things difficult for the president. There's an article this morning in The Post written by two other reporters, Karen DeYoung and Karun Demarjan, headline, "Contradicting Trump, Bolton says no withdrawal from Syria until ISIS is destroyed and Kurd safety is guaranteed." Well, that's not the report we're getting from National Security Advisor Bolton, as reported by Hugh in what I just read. And it's not what we're getting from the president. I played that clip for you last segment in which the president said, "We will not be out of there until ISIS is completely defeated." Now, there may be a question as to what does completely defeated mean. It means that they no longer hold territory, or does it mean they no longer hold the ability to regain territory if there is a vacuum or a void that is created by our withdrawal? And that's why it was so important. We started to play a clip for you last segment from Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, on this. I want to hear it in its entirety now, speaking to the president's decision to withdraw. You know, Lindsey Graham joined Hugh and others in saying this is a bad idea. But now that the president is kind of, I won't say walking back his pledge to withdraw our troops, but he is slowing it down and doing it more strategically, as I think what most observers can draw from this right now. Here's Lindsey Graham. Cut 15.
Well, I had lunch with the president last week, and I came away a bit encouraged. There are three things that we want to accomplish as part of a withdrawal. We want to make sure that when we leave, the Kurds do not get slaughtered. And I don't trust Turkey to take care of the Kurds. It'd be like Putin trying to police Assad. That didn't work well. We need a plan to protect the Kurds from Turkey and others. We need to make sure ISIS doesn't come back once they're defeated, and Iran's not the biggest winner. If you can accomplish those three objectives by reducing our forces, which I think we can, then count me in. But those three things have to be accomplished for us to successfully leave Syria. And the president's slowing down, and he's reevaluating his policies in light of those three objectives. Don't let Iran get the oil fields. Don't let the Turks slaughter the Kurds. And don't let ISIS come back. I think I share the goal of the president to withdraw our forces. Let's just do it smartly.
That's Lindsey Graham yesterday on CBS and Face the Nation, and that's such an important point. The president is not going to be precipitous in this. He is reevaluating and perhaps slowing down the decision to remove the troops. And I'm told that we do have the namesake of the program, Hugh Hewitt, live, and I believe, and I'll ask him, are you in Ankara, Hugh?
I am, Bob. How are you, and have you given up your fondness for Sam Darnold?
You're going to start right in with the fake news. Hugh, I love you, my friend. Every day when I hear you take shots at me and I got to come onto my program and respond to only a 1/1,000,000,000th of the audience that you have nationally, now I can get you voice to voice and ask you, how can you continue to be an enemy of the people and being such a purveyor of fake news?
You know, when we had that debate about Baker Mayfield versus Sam Darnold, I don't think anyone foresaw that he'd break the touchdown record. But I'm certainly I'm on the Baker train. I want you to join me there, Bob.
Well, no, you're right. Nobody foresaw that except for yours truly, which is why I told you on that stage in Cleveland, they need to take Baker Mayfield. Okay, Hugh, let's dive in.
I don't see a tape of that. I think.
we don't have tape, but we have eyewitnesses. Kersenow has come onto your airwaves and reported as much. So eyewitnesses count. Give us the latest. I read part of your piece in the Post yesterday before you came on to kind of give a summary of what National Security Advisor Bolton is doing and what the new strategy is there. Go ahead and tell us what you can.
Well, I just landed in Ankara, Turkey, where tomorrow the National Security Advisor Ambassador Bolton will be sitting down with President Erdogan to talk about the northern Syria slice in which American troops are presently occupied. And yesterday was an amazing day in Israel, primarily for scenes that people could see everywhere of John Bolton at the Western Wall, of John Bolton deep in the tunnel complex underneath the historic temple, abreast of the recreation of the temple. No American senior officials ever gone that far in the Temple Tunnel, and it was sort of significant. Then that night, Prime Minister Netanyahu declared, with John Bolton standing by him, Israel will never leave the Golan Heights. And so all of us reporters, and the seven reporters traveling with John Bolton, and all of us looked up. You know, that's a big deal. And now the question is, okay, the Israelis are 100% with us. Can John Bolton move Erdogan towards a solution that will assure that the Kurds are not slaughtered, that our ISIS is destroyed, and that the key focus in the region, Iran, remains the key focus in the region?
Hugh, when we talk about ISIS being fully defeated, and you wrote this in your piece in the Post yesterday, the president and National Security Advisor Bolton are both in agreement here that we cannot and will not leave until ISIS is defeated. The president declared 2 weeks ago ISIS has been defeated. What does defeat look like? What does defeat and the inability to reconstitute
look like? That's been a discussion among all the NSC staffers, the ambassador, and other people. I don't want to give away any off the record or on background stuff. I'll just say that the expectation is that the entirety of the physical caliphate will be destroyed, that there are still pockets and that the entirety of it has to be destroyed. And then there are questions about what to do with the ISIS fighters that haven't been answered yet, that are prisoners. Do they go to Gitmo? Do they go to Europe? Do they go to Turkey? Do they stay in the hands of the Kurds? But defeat of ISIS means they have no place where they can walk around outside freely flying their black flag and declaring that this is part of the physical caliphate. They'll be online for decades and probably hundreds of years, but a physical place for them to raise their flag is within reach of getting rid of.
The president said yesterday that Iran hates ISIS more than we do, that Russia hates ISIS more than we do, and that Turkey may hate them just a little bit less than we do. Can we really trust those nations and those leaders to combat them and to make sure that they can't fly those black flags anymore?
I know that we can trust Israel. I was so impressed. We were at the King David Hotel, which is the site of a lot of history, and talking to Israelis, senior officials off the record and on background. They're fully committed to defeating Iran in Syria, and they're fully committed to defeating ISIS in Syria, and they realize their big problem is Hezbollah with 140,000 missiles. 140,000 missiles. One senior Israeli official told me, if there's going to be a war, we want it in the next 2 years with Donald Trump in the White House. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it very much is. And Israel being committed, and your music is playing because your clock says we have to stop now. Hugh, can you come back on after this break?
No, I can't. I got to go file, unfortunately. But, Bob, I wanted to thank you personally for standing in the gap, my friend.
It is a pleasure to have you, or to sit in for you, Hugh. And thank you for coming on from Ankara, Turkey. Keep up your great work. We look forward to your future reporting from this junket with National Security Advisor John Bolton.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.